God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. Dr. Wilton's taking us to the book of Acts in just a moment, but you need to know we're here for you. Love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Open your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 21. I want to speak to you today on following hard after God's will. People, listen, the greatest thing you can ever do as an individual person is to just simply follow hard after what God wants you to do. Just do it. Now that's hard to do because if you're like me, I want to know. I want to know what it looks like before I get there, right? I want to know what seat I've got at the ball game before I go, because I don't do sitting with the sun shining in my face all the time. Because when I do that and they put me and facing the sun, my team might only win by 1 point in the final analysis. So I want to know. I want to know what it looks like. I want to know. That's a human thing. Could we all agree? We want to know. God says, I have no argument with that. Just follow hard. Just say yes. Samuel said, yes, Lord, speak, your servant is hearing. Greatest thing we can do, you can do, I can do, is to know and to determine the will of God for our lives and then just do it. Just lay it down. Say, Lord, I will do that. I can't figure it out. I don't even know if I got enough money. I don't know if I can get there. I don't know if I have the energy. And God says, do it. Acts chapter 21, Paul. When we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and we set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed, went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we were greeted by the brothers, stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of seven, stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. And while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt, and will deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. And when we heard this, we the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but I'm ready even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. And after these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, and bringing us to the house of Mason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we would lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went with us to James, and all the elders were present. after greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. And they said to him, "You see, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They're all zealous for the law. But they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourselves along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them, and he went into the temple at Jerusalem, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them." One thing is for certain about this man, Paul. He followed hard after God's will. Let's just take a look at this very briefly. This was quite a journey. I think you all agree. I want you to think for a minute about the rinky-dink ships that these people must have been traveling in. I'm not so sure any of us would have readily just jumped on board. But he was here in Miletus, so he got on board the ship and he went to this island called Kos. By the way, Kos is the port of the island of Kos. Kos, even to this day, carries the name. It's the capital city of the island called Kos. And then he came down here to this great island. I'm going to talk to you about that in a little while, called Rhodes. And he stopped there, right here. This is also a port city island on the Xinas River. X-I-N-A-S is really a transliteration. The Xinas, X-I-N-A-S River, which is a substantial river, and it was a port city here. And he stopped off there. Then he got on a ship and he went to this place called Patara. Now you're going to notice a long non-stop line here. I'm going to explain to you why he did that. He already told us, but some of you might have forgotten. He was in a hurry. So he got on board a ship, different ship. And he sailed all the way. Remember, Cyprus, the Bible says, was on the left of the ship. Came right here through the Mediterranean Sea, and this is where he landed at Tyre, went to Caesarea by the sea, Ptolemais, Caesarea, Caesarea Maritima. The word "by the sea" is the word Maritima. So if you go, come with me to Israel, like many of you are in December, I'll take you to Caesarea by the sea, Maritima. It's right here on the Mediterranean Sea, very strategic place. It's going to become even more strategic because that's where Paul is going to be. He's going to speak to the rulers. But at any rate, so he carries from there and he ends up in Jerusalem. I want to say this as we try to get a handle on this together. Because here we've got a man who, don't you think, when he was up in Asia and in the beautiful, on the edge of the Aegean Sea, personally, if I was Paul, I think that I could legitimately call the churches together and say, "Look, guys, I've done a lot. You know, I've been traveling all over the place. This is my third journey. It's time to hang up my cleats. You know, I'm just going to help around here and let's just keep going the way we are." But evidently, Paul was driven by what is most important, and that is, what does God want? "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus established that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he followed the will of the Father. And the result is you and I have life. He's the one who restores our soul. What does it mean when we understand what Paul did? What happened to Paul in this journey? Well, it means a number of things when you follow hard after the will of God. Number one, it means that sometimes you'll be tearing yourself away. Did you get that? In fact, other texts in chapter 21 and verse 1 use the word. In the Greek text, the word there means to literally tear away. I got a piece of paper up here. It's like this. You know, if you look back at the end of chapter 20, there he is with all these people that he loved. You ever had someone say to you, but we've never done it this way before? In God's economy, God understands that. In our lives, personally, we understand that. Paul had a deep and abiding love and friendship. God spoke. The Bible tells us very clearly here that he just had to part from them. That word part. Sometimes following hard after the will of God means some of the things that can be jolly tough, really. And you have no idea when you do it. You can't see how that God brings you back together before you've left. You don't know that. If you did know that, you would have no need to have faith. And without faith, you cannot please God. Church, trust God. Let God speak to you, to us. Churches that don't trust God hold business meetings where everybody comes together to tell God how much they don't trust Him. That's why the United States Congress is like it is, because I don't think God's there. His opinion is not valued by many, and I'm so thankful for the many that do value His opinion. It means tearing away, but sometimes it also means multiple stops. Following hard after God doesn't mean to say you go somewhere and you unpack your bags. Now, in Paul's case, that was true. So let me pick on one of them. So he went to Kos and then he went to Rhodes. I want to show you a picture of Rhodes. All right, so the first picture you're going to see is a very interesting picture. This is actually today, if you want to know about it, this port here is called Lindros, L-I-N-D-O-R-S. So this is when you approach the island of Rhodes. Paul and his entourage, of course, this wasn't here when Paul came in and landed at Rhodes. So watch the next picture here. This is where Paul came, which is just down the road on the east coast. This here is called the Colossus of Rhodes. And back in the ancient world, the Colossus was one of the seven wonders of the world. So the Colossus of Rhodes sat there, and it's a temple, and we could talk a lot about that. But this is the bay, actual bay, that Paul, on the ship coming from Kos, landed. This is where he came. So watch the next slide, yeah, because I put this in deliberately. Do you see this little opening here? That's where his entire ship went through. By the way, that's not his ship. And that's not me. I wish it was. He came in here, and I want you to notice something. This piece of rock out here, the Colossus over here, which is a huge piece of rock, this is a totally sheltered part of the land. Go to the next slide here. This little chapel actually stands right on that piece of land there, and it's the Apostle Paul Chapel. And it's got a big plaque. There's a plaque over here. And can you see this down here? Maybe you can see that. And the plaque actually says to this day, it's written in Greek. In English, it says, the Apostle Paul landed here during his third missionary journey and then quotes the scripture. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. We're all one in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Rhodes. So why did his ship pull in at Kos and then pull in at Rhodes and then pull in at Patara? And then why did he get on one ship and go all the way across to Tyre? Well, if you were to analyze this is from a nautical point of view, very typically and consistently, this is the Aegean Sea. Every day in the Aegean Sea, the winds during the day come down from the north. They blow from the north. Always have, always will. The winds blow this way. Which way is the ship going? Then at night, the wind dies down, and in dying down, the winds on the Aegean Peninsula shift, and as they die down, they gently blow back from the south. They push back this way. And so sailors during the time of the Apostle Paul, wanting to go in this direction, they only had sail power. They would catch the winds, the breezes, moving south. He landed at Kos. He landed at Rhodes. He landed at Patara. And what would happen is they would go into these protected little waterways for two reasons. Number one, because of security. They didn't have lamps and lights to be able to look at rocks and things. That's why they would be destroyed. They couldn't see where they were going. They didn't even have nautical instruments to the extent that we would enjoy them today. So there was a security reason. There was a nautical navigational reason, but there was also a wind reason. They had to take shelter at night because the wind changed in the opposite direction. But when he got to Patara, something happened. When he got to Patara, you will remember that the Apostle Paul had made a statement. Look at chapter 20 and verse 16, just before I read to you. What did Paul say there? For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia. Here it is. For he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. When he got to Patara, Paul turned to his companions and said, gentlemen, we've got a problem. We're not going to get to Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost. They said, problem solved. There's a much bigger ship that sails from here to Tyre. By the way, the much bigger ship could take on board 276 passengers. Now, how do we know that? Well, because we're told that in Acts 27 and verse 27. Sorry, not verse 27, verse 37. Then they were all encouraged, ate some food themselves. We were all in all 276 persons in the ship. By the way, to sail from Patara to Tyre in a bigger ship, one journey took approximately 5 days. Now here's a man following hard after God's will. He could have stayed, had every reason. Because he was following hard after God's will, there are some things that we believe happen. Number one, that sometimes following hard after God's will means tearing away. Sometimes you just have to go somewhere, do something, leave someone. Number two, sometimes means multiple stops. Don't ever tell God that you've unpacked your bags. He'll unpack them for you. I've had the privilege of being with you for many, many years, and I believe with all my heart there's at least another good 20 years in me. But I can tell you this, both my wife and I can tell you, before God, I have never told God that I will never leave here or leave you. How can I? But God has been very gracious because He has given to us the greatest joy of our lives. See, God fulfills the joy of your life. God is not a God who gets it in for you. God's not out saying, man, I'm going to find something that's going to really mess. I'm just going to destroy his whole frame of reference. I'm going to rip his heart out. I'm going to make him bleed. Does that sound like God? But what he requires is that you follow hard after him. Sometimes when you follow hard after God like Paul, it means meeting interesting people. And you know, this is repeat. If you go from verse 4 through verse 15, they're all there. Philip the evangelist, by the way, went into his house and he had four daughters who prophesied. I bet Paul never heard so much talking in all his life. I've often thought about that. And by the way, they were unmarried. I'm grateful that the suggestion is that Paul was, because he might have been viewed potentially as an eligible bachelor. I don't know. I'm just reading into the text here. But you just meet interesting people. He did. What about Agabus, the prophet who came up from Judea? And the Bible tells us quite a bit about him. What about this man that we read about by the name of Mason, with an N? Mason of Cyprus. Bible tells us he was an early disciple, came from Cyprus. Who else came from Cyprus? Anyone remember? Barnabas. Remember the church in Cyprus? There was a fellowship of believers. And he was just meeting. This was hospitality. You folks are the best at hospitality. I love the way you're so hospitable. You just open up your homes, your hearts. There is nothing like it. You can go anywhere in the world. You'll never get hospitality like you get out of this room. I know. I've been the recipient of it. You are the most... That's what he... And you know what happened? Paul went into the place, man, he said, man, I'm going to stay at their house. He said, man, she can put the best food on the table. They just have the nicest little room and they just make us feel like it's our home. I think you've got a picture here of Mason. When Paul followed hard after the will of God, sometimes it means listening to a lot of good advice. Don't discount all the advice he's getting. Good advice. Can I ask you this question? Why do you suppose those that loved him best would not say to him, don't go to Jerusalem? So I want you to think of a person that you know and you love and respect if you were in Paul's shoes, and you knew very well that your friend, this lady, this man was following hard off, and you knew that whenever they got to where they were going, that in all likelihood it would even cost their lives. You're right, I'd say, please don't go. I mean, what kind of friend is going to say, ah, got you, off you go, bye, never see you again? This is a feast of friendship and the movement of the Spirit of God. It is a very precious thing. When you follow hard after the will of God, you get a lot of wonderful advice. I'm not going to preach on this. Don't listen to the court of public opinion. Don't pay ever attention to the court of public opinion. That's an entirely different matter. And the survey says, God don't do surveys. Don't listen to the court of public opinion, but you have multiple precious, godly men and women, friends, that speak from their heart because they love you. He was following hard after the will of God. Look at this. Sometimes it means tearing away. Sometimes it means multiple stops. Sometimes it means meeting interesting people. Sometimes it means listening to a lot of good advice. But all the times, it means following hard after God. Number of times our own children have come to us, and many times, I suppose some of the hardest things we've ever said, even to our own kids, is, what's God telling you to do? Well, Dad, this is what he's saying. Do it, my son. Just do it. Called my father over 40 years ago. Dad, Karen and I are selling everything we have. We're flying to New York. May not ever see you again, Dad. We don't know. Son, you know how much Mom and I just love you and Karen. But if we never see you again in our entire life, but we know that you're following after the will of God, our joy will be made complete. I didn't know, we didn't know, I would stand in this church 4 years ago as we celebrated my father's home call to heaven. Yeah, how'd that happen? What is God saying to you? What is he saying to us? How does your life measure up? He is. He's the one. It's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. It's the rose of Sharon. This Jesus. This is Jesus who is God, gave his life for you and for that we might have life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I can promise you this. You turn your life over to Jesus, and then you, in your business, at school, at home, in your marriage, your church life, you just follow him. In this life, it's no greater place to be, no greater joy, no greater journey. Yeah, it does mean tearing away, and it does mean making many stops, and it does mean meeting a lot of wonderful, interesting, godly people, and it does mean listening to a lot of great and sound advice that we share together. The bottom line is follow hard after God.
That is the challenge, to follow hard after God. And perhaps you realize that not only is it something that's overwhelming, but how can it be done? Here's the good news. You do not have to do it alone. God is ready to begin a work in you and to complete the work he begins in you by his Spirit. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And that phone number and a number of ways to connect are also on our website at theencouragingword.org. I pray that you would open your heart right now to perhaps the most important 60 seconds from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news. You know, these are such special times together. I'm so grateful, my friends, that we can worship together like this through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry. And you're such a vital part of all that God's doing. And I just love you. And I want you to know that. You know, this ministry goes on 24 hours round the clock all the time. We want to be involved in your life, and we want to continue to pray for you. You can call us at any time. You can partner with us all the time through prayer and through your giving. We know that you are 100% engaged as we are in sharing God's truth with our searching world. That's what this is all about. We need Jesus, don't we? And God is doing a great work. And I love you today. Thank God for you. Pray for you. God bless you.